The big earthquake off the west coast of the other America last night reminds us that the Earth is made up of parts that move. And what happened in Chile could certainly happen in our part of the world, where we sit atop the Cascadia subduction zone, where two tectonic plates meet and push against each other and store up energy that will someday be released in a big earthquake. Scientists are confident of that scenario, but can't say when. So it is up to us to prepare minds and homes for the potential of a big earthquake. Oregon Emergency Management is on the road this week talking earthquake prep in Jackson, Josephine, and Klamath counties. Dr. Althea Rizzo is the Geologic Hazards Coordinator at Oregon Emergency Management and is in the studio with us for the first time after several visits on the phone. Dr. Rizzo, good to have you here.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you.
So we've been talking about Cascadia subduction zone earthquakes for a while yet. Is the term well enough known now that you feel like you can kind of start on square two when you get in front of audiences?
Well, I think that Cascadia is old news for some people, but we have a great big population out there that this is new information for them. They're not aware of Cascadia subduction zone and the hazard that it poses to Oregon.
And we're talking how big potentially an earthquake?
It could be up to a 9 or slightly over a 9.0.
And do we have any idea where the centering would be? The zone itself extends from, what, Cape Mendocino up to British Columbia or Vancouver Island?
Right. So it's a 600-mile-long fault zone. And with this type of earthquake, it doesn't really have an epicenter. It has a rupture zone. And so it could rupture a portion of that 600 miles, or it could rupture the entire 600-mile length.
You know, as long as we've been talking about Cascadia subduction zone earthquakes, and we've talked about the comic book, and we've talked about other approaches and tsunami warning systems, I mean, pretty much everything that we've touched on all the bases I know over the last couple of years here at the Jefferson Exchange. But then there was the New Yorker article that came out this year, and it seemed like all of a sudden, because the New Yorker had an article about the big one coming to the West Coast, that everybody sat up and took notice. Was that the impression you were left with?
Yeah, the New Yorker has an international stage, and when it's in that magazine, people do notice what's being said. And, you know, I had folks on my Facebook page that said, oh, I'd never heard of Cascadia before. And I'm going, do you look at my Facebook page? Because I post all the time. So it really is new information to a lot of people. And so the New Yorker article was kind of a mixed blessing in that it gave us a much wider audience, but it also presented the information in such a way that a lot of people got frightened at something that you can prepare for and you can do a lot to get ready for.
What's the general concern, the largest, I would ask, single concern about infrastructure in the event of a large earthquake?
I think our transportation systems, because all of our goods come into the state via the roadways. And if you can't get fuel and food and resources in, it makes it really difficult to serve the people. Our power is going to be out for a significant amount of time. Our sewer systems are going to be impacted. So it's really hard to pick one particular thing, but if I had to, it would be transportation and the fuel vulnerability.
Well, that's an interesting point to bring up. It's one of those times you realize there actually are no oil refineries in the state of Oregon, so all the fuel does, in fact, come from elsewhere.
Absolutely. About 90% of it comes from one refinery in Anacortes, Washington, and that fuel comes through one pipeline. That pipeline crosses 15 rivers, and then it goes over the Columbia River into the port of Portland, which was built in the 1940s, 1950s, before we knew about plate tectonics, let alone the hazard of the Cascadia subduction zone.
Have there been over the years, I mean, as people, you know, as buildings wear out, as facilities wear out, people do tend to build new things. I mean, has there been enough of a rolling change in things that things are, at least some of the infrastructure is up to seismic codes?
Well, not really. We have not been replacing our buildings. We have not been retrofitting our buildings at the rate that we should be doing. If you have built since the mid-1990s, 2000s, your building's probably going to stand up. You may not be able to use it afterwards because building codes don't build to such a standard that you can go in and use the building. It just means the building won't fall down on you. So we have a long ways to go, but we can certainly get there. We've seen it happen in Japan and in Chile to get to where we need to be.
Althea Rizzo is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake. It runs in intervals between 200 and 500 years, and it's been 315 since the last one. She's the Geologic Hazards Coordinator for Oregon Emergency Management. You can join the discussion at 800-838-3760 by phone or jx@jeffnet.org by email. Here's Steve and Eugene. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Howdy. after Katrina, I was wondering, what is the worst thing that could happen to us? And I looked at a topo map, and lo and behold, here's Hell's Creek Dam above Oak Ridge. That's an earth-fill dam, no cement in it except for the floodgates. And that drains down into Lookout, which is a pretty goodly-sized cement dam, and is right above Dexter Dam, which is, again, an earth-fill dam. If these earth-fill dams, especially Hills Creek, gave out in a shake, it would take out the two dams below, and we'd have a 50-foot wall of water, houses, cars, etc., coming down on us. And yet I have heard very little about, you know, from the subduction people, I've heard about tsunamis, and I've heard about bridges, and all right, that.
So because of the limits on time, I'm going to move along, but we're talking about dams. We got that clear, and we'll move from here. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate that. So, Althea, what do you say?
So, yes, some of the dams are a concern, and I frequently get questions in Eugene about the dams, and I highly recommend that you talk to Lane County Emergency Management. I know that they have been working with some of the private owners of the dams to do hazard assessments. If you are here in Jackson County next week, on Wednesday, I believe, the Corps of Engineers is going to be at City Hall, and you can go to the Jackson County Emergency Management page. I think that's, or you could go to Ready Medford, maybe get the information. You can register to talk to a Corps engineer about the inundation zone underneath the dam and if your home is in it, and then what kind of emergency routes you can look at.
All right. Anything being done to shore up dams, though?
That is a process that's ongoing. And we have a lot of dams that are very old, but we just have a lot of dams. And just like any other infrastructure systems, it takes time to renovate those.
Okay. More calls. We got Paul in Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Althea Rizzo from Oregon Emergency Management.
Good morning. Three basic questions. First of all, how many active or inactive nuclear plants are potentially affected by the putative earthquake somewhere along the Cascadia subduction zone? Second question, what is the projected time to completion of return of power to the region, power distribution to the region? And then finally, obviously it's an inexact science, but what are the projected effects on the interior valleys in Oregon, depending on the siting and size of the earthquake?
Okay, so nuclear facilities in Oregon, anything left?
I believe OSU has a small research reactor, but the only other one that I'm aware of that's active is the Hanford Nuclear Reservation, which is in eastern Washington, and that's a fair distance away from the subduction zone. They do have some crustal hazards over there that they weren't aware of during World War II when they built them, but I know that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is working on looking at Hanford and the Cascadia effects there. So the second question was about
the time of grid getting repaired, electrical grid.
Right. And that is, the answer there is it really depends on how big the earthquake is. Is it a full margin rupture or is it a partial rupture? If it's a partial rupture that only affects the southern portion of Oregon, you know, Portland and Seattle will get back online pretty quickly. Because there won't be a lot of physical damage to the infrastructure up there. But on the southern portion, it could be weeks to months before the power is restored if there's a lot of sort of last-mile damage to the lines.
Last-mile damage in the sense of?
Power lines falling down, liquefaction causing breaks in underburied power lines, transformers. You know, houses shaking off of their foundations and pulling the wires out. So it could be a long time before that last mile gets repaired.
Okay. And then the other question was about the damage to interior valleys. And I think we've pretty well established that as you get closer to the coast, damage from earthquake and potential tsunami gets a lot greater.
Right. So if you go to OregonGeology.org/hazview, there's an online map hazard viewer. And in my talk, I show a graphic from that that shows that even here in the Medford area, Ashland area, you could get very severe shaking, which means that even well-built buildings could start to see some damage. Now, if we get a 9 point or higher, it is possible that poorly built buildings in Baker City could be damaged.
That far east, then.
Far east. From the Mineral Virginia earthquake in near Washington, D.C.
Right. My sister felt it in Lynchburg, yeah.
Cracked a cathedral tower in Charleston, South Carolina. So damage can happen hundreds of miles away if the conditions are just right.
One of the major quotes that came out of that New Yorker piece was about, and I forget who the person was in Oregon who said everything west of I-5 is toast. And I can see you've heard this a few times before. Not to make light of it, but I mean, how accurate is it?
That's a metaphor for meaning we're all going to be affected negatively in some way. It's not going to be everything is flattened. A 600-foot wall of water is not going to come over the coastal range. But we all will be impacted. And there's 15 to 20 million people that will be impacted by this. But if people want to share toast recipes later, I'm happy to do that.
Right. More calls here. Let's go to John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Althea Rizzo.
Hi, thanks. First of all, from what I know, Oregon certainly is not as active a state. You know, we don't have a long history of horrible earthquakes like California or Japan or Alaska. But here's my real question. Some of the people I know are so into this, and it's on the news all the time. Is it possible that some people are actually excited for this to happen, like they almost want it to? I mean, let's face it, if this does happen, you just told us there's a lot of people who are going to die. So anyway, do you ever run across that? Because I've got some friends who act like they almost want to have it, like they're excited or something.
Like it's a cool thing. All right, thanks for that. Appreciate that.
Well, there are disaster junkies, just like there are adrenaline junkies. And so, you know, it takes all kinds to create a vibrant culture. But these are the people, you know, we really depend on sometimes because they are the ones out there that's doing the prep work. And what I hope is their enthusiasm sparks other people who might not be as excited for the possibility.
All right. Another call from Ryan and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking earthquakes with Althea Rizzo.
Well, hi, Althea. This is Ryan Collet. I'm the director of the SMILE program at Oregon State. But I really am intrigued by the education and the long-term sustained conversation. I'm kind of sorry for the New Yorker article, only because it did create more fear and angst. And I think that we really need to focus on resiliency, and not just for the earthquake, although this is definitely the Cascadia gives people's attention, but for fires, landslides, the other natural disasters, and really focus on that community resiliency as opposed to, you know, armoring up, because, you know, things are going to take a while. So how do we help communities become more resilient? That's really my question.
All right. Thanks for that, Ryan.
That's a really good question. So resiliency gets thrown around a lot. And what does that really mean? So that just means being able to respond and adapt to a bad situation. And Oregonians are much more resilient than they sometimes give themselves credit for. We're very outdoorsy people. We go camping, we go hunting, fishing, hiking, biking. All of those things feed into resiliency. I mean, but then some of those things that we kind of tend to associate with Portlandia, the backyard chickens, the community gardens, that's all resiliency. So really we're doing a lot of the things right already. We just need to acknowledge that and maybe kind of twist our thinking a little bit make it a little bit more purposeful. The disaster relief trials with the bike cargos. Ensuring that all of our high school students graduate with a first aid certificate to start building that capacity in our population over time.
One more call from Skeeter and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Unfortunately, up 40 miles northwest of Portland at the former Trojan nuclear power plant, highly radioactive spent fuel rods are sitting in a big swimming pool just underneath a nice corrugated steel roof. Yeah, just in terms of we still do have nuclear radioactive stuff just sitting there, and that if unfortunately that pool gets cracked and breaks open, all the spent fuel rods, if they fall down in a big quake, They're all going to be sitting there on top of each other. It's not a good situation.
All right, let's see what Althea has to say about that. Thank you, Skeeter.
Well, what I can do is refer you to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. This is not my area. I don't know a lot about
it. Is he accurate about how they're stored, or are they stored in concrete casks? Do you even know that much?
I honestly don't know, so I would have to look that up. Right. It's something I can study on.
You mentioned bike cargoes. That one kind of got past me. What's that about?
So some of the communities have companies that run bike cargoes. You pay people to carry things on bikes for you. And they've been really phenomenal in disaster response, because a lot of times after an earthquake or a tornado, you can't drive through an area, but you can get a bike with cargo, and you can carry about 100 pounds worth of stuff on those bikes. And so they're a great partner, and they're kind of a really good example of how we look at resiliency a little bit differently here.
You've already done Grants Pass and Medford on this road show. You're doing the City of Talent tonight at Jackson County Fire District 5 headquarters at 7 o'clock, the Green Springs Inn, 4 o'clock on Sunday, and then Klamath Falls at 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock at the County Government Center. What's the question you get asked the most, or the thing you hear the most from the people you've seen already?
When is it going to happen? And the answer is we don't know, but we do know it's happened over and over again and will happen again sometime.
We're talking thousands of ruptures on the Cascadia subduction zone over the years.
Yeah.
And generally in periods close to where we are now. It's been 315 years. Since 1700 was the last one.
That's right.
All right. So, it seems like the preparations we do for earthquake are preparations that are good for pretty much any disaster. Just having food and water and stuff ready.
Yeah, you're preparing for the disaster standard. You're ready for anything Oregon can throw at you.
All right. And then it can throw a lot. Althea Rizzo is the Geologic Hazards Coordinator at Oregon Emergency Management. Thanks so much for stopping by the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thank you for having me.